We continue our learning lately. Nishmas David ben Menachem Mishnah Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas de Leo. We're in Ksuvos Perek Tes Mishnah Ches. Now Mishnah Zayin, we spoke about the Pogebes Ksuvasa. This is a woman who comes to collect the Ksuba and she admits that she already received part of it. So the Mishnah had said Lo Tibara El Beshvur. She has to take an oath that she didn't collect the entire thing. So our Mishnah is going to elaborate upon that halacha. Ha Pogebes Ksuvasa Ketzad. What's the case of the Pogemes Ksuvasa? Haisa Ksuvasa Elef Zuz. So you have a case where the Ksuva, let's say, was 1,000 Zuz, and she's being Tovea, the woman is claiming the entire Ksuva from her husband after they become divorced. V'armailah, and the husband said, his Kabalt Ksuvasich, and he said, yeah, I already paid you the Ksuva. V'yomeres lo his Kabalti elamaneh. I only got 100 zuz, meaning the ksuba was 1,000 zuz, and I only got 100 zuz out of it. So it's true, I was paid a little bit, but there's a lot more that's left to be paid. Lo tibara el b'shvua. As we explained, this is an example of pogemes. She admits to that there's a little bit of a defect already in the ksuba, in the sense that part was paid. She was paid 100 already, she admits. So if the other 900, she takes a shvua, says she was not, she didn't collect the other 900. Then the Mishnah says, eid echad, Miidashi Prua Ketzad. Said in previous Mishnah, we spoke about where there's one aid that said that it was Parua also. She could only collect with the Shvuah that indeed it was not collected. So Eidachad Miidashi Prua Ketzad, what's the case? The Ksuva was 1,000 Zuz. And the husband said, his Kabat Ksuva Sich. She comes to collect the Ksuva after the divorce, let's say, and the husband said, I paid it to you already. She says, no, I did not accept any of it yet. The aid echad miida shiprua. And one aid comes to testify. Now, it's not two aidim, but one aid is enough to generate a shvua on her for the woman. And since one aid says it was paid back, so lo tibara ela b'shvua. That's elaborating upon the other halacha in the previous Mishnah. And the previous Mishnah spoke about nechasim mishubadim. Minechasim mishubadim ketzad. What's the case of nechasim mishubadim? This is a case where a woman who wants to collect her ksuva from, let's be a husband has no assets now, and she wants to collect the ksuva from the purchasers, from someone who the husband said, sold some of his property to. So the Mishnah there said she has to take a shvua for that. So what's the case? As our Mishnah elaborates, the husband sold some of his assets, his property, to someone else. Then the woman comes to collect the ksuva from those nechasim mishubadim, the nechasim that are in the hands of the purchasers. Lo tipara elol b'shvua. To collect that, she needs to swear. That was also another halacha. The Mishnah mentioned she's coming to collect from the Yisomim. So also the Almanu comes to claim our ksuva from the Yisomim, the husband had passed away, so there also she needs to take a shvua. So what's the case? The husband passed away, and now the Yisomim, the orphans, his sons, have the Yerusha, and the Almanu, the widow, comes to collect the ksuva from the Nechasim, from the property of the Yerusha in the hands of the Yisomim. Lo tipara, elul b'shvua. She needs to take an oath. Vishalo b'fanav ketzad. What's the case? Mishnah also mentioned Shalom Bafanov, a case where the husband is not around. The husband went to a Derech Rechoka. She's coming to Beis Din to collect her ksuva. Also, he said, you need a shvu. What's the case? So here too, says the Mishnah, Shalom Bafanov, Ketzad Halachlo, Lemidinas Hayam. The husband went away overseas, Vihinifra, Shalom Bafanov, and she takes out a get to show she's divorced and the ksuva, and she comes to Beis Din to collect the ksuva from his property. And in Ephras, Elabishvu, she needs an oath. Rabbi Shimon Omer, calls man shehi tovas ksuvasa hayorshin mashbin osa. But vim eina tovas ksuvasa ein hayorshin mashbin osa. So Rabbi Shimon argues on what we learned in the previous mission. He says like this: when she comes to claim the ksuva from the yorshim, then the Yoshim have the right to make her take an oath. And that would be true even if the husband wrote to the to her, if you remember this, Neder u'shvua ein li v'lo li yorshai alayich. No neder, no oath, no vow, no nothing, not for me, not for the Yoshim. The, according to Rabbi Shimon, that Tanai does not help, is not effective regarding the ksuva that she's collecting from the Yisomim. Doesn't matter that he mentioned the Yarshim. But that's so therefore, Kolzman, that she's being Tover the ksuva, the Yarshim have the right to be Mashbihar, and that's even if the husband said, don't worry, my Yarshim don't need, there's no neder, no shvua. Doesn't matter. He doesn't have the power over them. V'meina tovas ksuvasa, but if she's not being Tover her ksuva, and we'll see what that means. Ein han yoshim mash be enough. So the yoshim cannot cause her to take an oath. What does that mean? So this is referring to when she's an apotropos. This is when she's a guardian, she's a custodian over, while her husband was alive, over the husband's assets. So even if the husband did not exempt her from a shvua, the Yorshim cannot be mashbiahar on her managing his affairs. Because Rabbi Shimon disagrees on what we learned earlier in Mishnah Dalet, where we said the husband has the right to force his wife to take an oath on the managing of his business whenever he wants. So according to Rabbi Shimon, no, even the husband himself can't cause her to take that shvua, and that would be true even if he appointed her as a custodian or as a chenvanis, a shopkeeper on his things. Only at what point then can he? So that's not all the time. But when she comes to be tovea hoshvua, her ksuva, then it's allowed. So that's what it means. That the when a Mishnah says the Yorshin Amashbia Osa, only when she comes to collect the ksuva, that means yes, they can make her take an oath on managing his business affairs, their father's business affairs, her husband's business affairs, at the time she collects the ksuva, but not at any time. And that's true, although the Mishnah mentions Yorshim, that's true regarding the husband as well. The husband also cannot force her to take a shvua on managing his affairs. According to Rabbi Shimon, only at the time she comes to collect the ksuva, then he has the right to have her take an oath to make sure that she didn't take anything when she was managing his money. Perek Tes, Mishnah Tes. Hotzia get ve'eini mo ksuva. Here you have a woman. She has a get in her hand, but she doesn't have the shtar ksuva. Let's say we're talking about a case, the Mefarshim assume, where they don't write a ksuva. We have that in the Mishnayos, communities where they did not write a ksuva. A get should be sufficient. I'm showing you a divorce, so I deserve the ksuva. So this says the Mishnah, Gova ksuvasa, she's allowed to collect the ksuva by merely showing the get. After all, you don't write a ksuva, so she shouldn't be expected to have the extra ksuva. The Farshim explained, though, that that's only the ikr ksuva, the 200 for a besula or 100 for almana, because that's a Tanai based in. But any Tosefis that may have been promised, if she doesn't have that in writing, she cannot claim that. Ksuva ve'eni maget, let's say a case where they write a ksuva, and she took out the ksuva, you owe me the money, but she doesn't have a get to prove she's divorced. And there's some type of quarrel between the wife and the husband. He doesn't want to pay. Why? Because he omeres avad giti, you divorced me, but I lost my get. Vu omer avad shovarino. Meaning, I know I divorced you, but I paid your entire kesef ksuva, and you gave me a receipt. The problem is I lost the receipt. So we'll have to see what the halach is. Each one, she's saying, I lost the get. Here's the ksuva, I lost the get. The husband said, I paid you. I know we're divorced, but I paid you the ksuva, I just lost the receipt. So each one is saying that she deserves the ksuva. She doesn't have shav ksuva to prove it. He claims he paid it. He doesn't have a shov or a receipt to prove that he paid it. Or v'chein baal chov shehotzi shtar chov. This is not only true with respect to a ksuva, a husband and a wife. Let's say you have a case where a baal chov, a malve, a lender comes, he takes out a shtar chov, he takes out the loan document to collect his money, but it's after the Shemitah year. But v'eini mo prosbol, he doesn't have the special prosbol contract that's written where the malver basically gives his debts over to the basin, which now allows, although the Shemitah year cancels all loans, if it's given to the hands of the basin, you write a prosbol like Hillel enacted, so then you're able to collect your chov, your debt after the Shemitah year. So the Lova said, what are you talking about? You never had a Pruz Bowl. And the Shemitah Chov, the debt, should be canceled. The Mava says, no, I had a Pruz Bowl, but I lost it. So in these cases, Hare Elu Lo Yiparu. So the Ksuva cannot be collected, because we're afraid the husband is correct, that the Ksuva was paid, he just lost his receipt. And the case of the Pruz Bowl as well, the debt is not collected. Maybe the Malva never wrote a Pruz Bowl. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Min HaSakana Ve'elich, Isha Gove Ksuva Sa Shelo Beget, Ubal Chov Gove Shelo Per Pruz Bowl. But at the time, Sakana, danger literally and on, time that the Roman government said that the Jews cannot keep mitzvos, and they were afraid to have a get sitting around or a Pruz Bowl sitting around and maybe caught. So then a woman can collect her Ksuva even without a get, and the husband's not believed to say he paid it until he takes out, unless he has a receipt to prove it. And a Baal Chov, the Malva, can collect even his loan, even without a Pruz Bowl. We assume that he made a Pruz Bowl, but he may have burnt it because of the Sakana. He's afraid he'll be caught. So that's Menas Sakana Ve'elech, says from Shem Gamliel, the halacha has changed. Then the Mishnah says like this, Shnei Gittin. Let's say you have a woman takes out two Gittin. Why? Because she was divorced, and then he took her back, and then he divorced her again. Uste ksuvos, and she has two ksuvos as well. One of them is the time of the ksuva is written before the time of the first get, and one is after the time of the first get. Gova shte ksuvos. She can collect the value of both ksuvos from both of these marriages. Let's say shte ksuvos v'get echad, though. She takes that two ksuvos but one get, and the time times of the two ksuvos are the dates on them are before the get. O ksuva shnei gittin, or she has a ksuva, one ksuva, but two gittin. Why? Must have been he married her, divorced her, and took her back and divorced her again, but did not write her a ksuva upon the second marriage. O ksuva v'get umisa, or let's say she takes out a ksuva and a get, and she has eidim that prove that he divorced her, he took her back, and then he died, and therefore didn't write another ksuva when he took her back. In all of these cases, ein agova el ksuva achas. Here, she doesn't have. In all of these cases, she only collects one ksuva. Why? Shamagarish is istovech zira. A man who's divorced his wife, he takes her back before she collected the ksuva and didn't write a new ksuva after he took her back. Almanas ksuva harishona machzira. We assume that he took her back with in mind that the original ksuva that was written for the first marriage is the ksuva that's going to be in effect for the second marriage. Therefore, if she takes out a ksuva and two gittin, or ksuva get an Ede Misa. She only collects one ksuva. What about the case where she took out two ksuvos and one get? Two ksuvos. Why is she only collecting one ksuva? Because someone who writes for his wife two ksuvos, the halacha is that he only, but since there's only one get, she only collects one of them. Then the mistress says, Katan shi siwo aviv. You have a katan, a young boy, and the father marries him off, and now the child becomes a gadol. Ksuva sa kayemes, meaning they wrote a ksuva, the father wrote a ksuva for his son when he was a katan, and now he's living with his wife. After he becomes a gadol, so we assume the ksuva that was written when he was a katan is kayemis, is still in effect. Shabanas ken kima. That's why that with that condition that he's keeping, he's staying married. The idea was that when he gets older, becomes a gadol, becomes bar mitzvah, he's going to stay married. Almanas the ksuva that was written when he was a child. Now the Gemara says the only thing that she can collect based on the ksuva is the ikur ksuva. Tosef the 200 or 100, but Tosefes she does not have. So the Balei Atosus wonder, so what does the Mishnah mean when it says Almanas Kain Kima? It's because of that he kept her around. After, even if they didn't write a ksuva at all, she gets an ikka ksuva. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if he marries her as a besula, even though now that he's living with her and he becomes a gadol, she's now a beula. So you say, the David is bar mitzvah, he's now living with a beula. Maybe the ksuva should be 100. No, that's what it means, almanas ken kima, that it's going to be a ksuva of 200, because the bottom line is, when he was a katan, although he was a katan, she was a besula of time they got married. Then the Mishnah says, Gershon is Gayer v'ishto imo. You have a case of a Ger, non-Jew, who converted, and his wife converted with him to Judaism. Ksuva sa kayemes. They wrote a ksuva when they were non-Jews. Whatever that ksuva was, whatever that document was, That's in place now, even for their Jewish marriage. Why? Same idea. Sha'amanas ken kima. It's with that in mind that they stay married, that that after they converted, that they're going to keep the ksuva the way it was. Some say ksuva sa kayemes means a ksuva of 100 zuz. That's what it means. Amanas ken kima, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that a giyores, a perek aleph mishnah dalet, a giyores who becomes, who converts when she's older than 3 years and one day, the ksuva is only 100 zuz, and that's what it means here. The gershon is gai v'ishto imo, ksuva sa kayemes, it refers to the ksuva of 100 zuz.